Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. Tony is with me today. Rick is still out of town enjoying vacation, and we've got some not a lot of lengthy news to cover here, but some fun stuff. We'll start with Kevin McKernan says God works in mysterious ways. Let's watch this video of Janet Yellen.
Thank you, Colby Smith with the FT. You've described calls for widespread tariffs as deeply misguided, and the IMF today has warned that such policies will dent global growth. Can you elaborate more on the near-term economic impact of these policies and over a longer time horizon? How concerned are you about the potential impact of the dollar status as the world's reserve currency?
Let's see.
All righty, Tony. So it's foreshadowing, perhaps. The U.S. Treasury sign falls off the front of her podium. What are your reactions to this one?
Man, you can't make this stuff up. You know, when you see this, that quote, God works in mysterious ways, is so spot on. Like, I mean, you couldn't have called it better, right? I mean, even divine intervention is telling them, all right, guys, pack it up. The gig is up. Go home. You know, the future is crystal clear now. It's funny because she was laughing as well. You know, I think she even understood the subconscious humor in all of this. I mean, what do you expect them to say at this point? I mean, everything is out in the open. Everything is super exposed. Like continuously lying about things at this point is just like ridiculous. You know, like, I mean, how far are you going to keep it up before you just tell the world, all right, guys, you know, it's over, pack it up, go home, bake some cookies, you know, grow some flowers. I mean, make better use of your time with the family instead of coming up on stage and saying things that nobody obviously believes and that it's going to lead us nowhere, you know. So it's just funny how it happened, you know, it's very amusing.
It's just classic. And yeah, I was wondering if she understood the, you know, the irony and the humor, or if she was just laughing because it had fallen. But very, very telling, I think, the direction we're heading. And it's becoming more obvious too. I mean, that the driver's drunk at the wheel, not asleep, drunk. It seems to be more appropriate. And this is just like one of those classic Bitcoin moments. Like, you know, you remember the buy Bitcoin in the background of Janet Yellen speaking, that sign. Like, this is going to be one of those things that we look back on 20, 30 years from now. It's a funny moment, but
you can clip them both together, you know, like the sequence of events that led to the poof.
And I'm sure there'll be another one here in the near future that we can all point and laugh at too. But for anyone listening who isn't sold on the demise of U.S. dollar hegemony, take note. It's becoming clearer and clearer. Speaking of, you know, incompetence at the elitist level, mm-hmm. The World Bank, the bureaucrats there lost track of at least $24 billion in funds fighting climate change, and they're saying it could be twice or 10 times more than that. So they're in this battle against climate change. It's the most important thing in the world, right? And poor record keeping practices by the DC-based international lender were the cause of this untraceable money. Tony, would you trust any large group of unelected bureaucrats with your money? And what do you think about this?
Oh my God, a bunch of these worthless parasites. I mean, climate change scam, that's one. You know, like if you were silly enough to believe that rubbish, you know, that's already something. The second thing, I don't think anything was lost. This was all stolen money. I mean, where else would this money go? Deliberately stolen, deliberately, you know, obfuscated so that nobody has a clue about where anything went. I mean, this is all by design. Like, what did you expect from these thieves? You'll never find the money or where it went, because as soon as there's any form of investigation towards, you know, the truth, there'll be like 100 million roadblocks put in the way of anyone who attempts. I've seen this happen before in Lebanon, you know, and how this plays out, you know, it went as far as they went on blowing up an entire port that took out half the city because supposedly it contained hard evidence of all the lies and the scams and the misconduct that has been going on for decades. This falls in line perfectly with that theme. So what do you want me to tell you, man? Thankfully, these fools are on their way out. Bitcoin continues to grow, putting an end to this mockery and insult of the American people and just people worldwide. You know, I mean, these guys are recklessly destroying your lives by wasting taxpayer money. Essentially, that's where all these funds, as fund money is coming from. And so when they misplace it and steal it and put it in their own coffers, well, then essentially what they're doing is that they're just ripping you off. And it's how long, you know, is the American people, are the American people just going to sit here and complain on forums about what's abundantly clear rather than take, you know, more definitive action to put an end to it? That's yet to be seen. Peacefully speaking, though, we have Bitcoin, you know, as it continues to grow, you know, and people adopt it and opt out of that worthless blood money. Well, you know, things will ultimately come to an end, you know, on them by themselves, just following along that path.
Yeah, I would caution anyone who, you know, there are a lot of people who think that there are good causes in the world today, you know, whether you support, you know, Ukraine or Israel or Palestine, whoever, it doesn't really matter. I think what a lot of people miss is that they assume that the money that we're supposedly giving to these causes, whatever the cause, actually makes it there and is used for the benefit of that cause. And the reality is you don't just lose, you know, a couple billion, tens of billions of dollars. I mean, that money is somewhere, right? And I'm not going to speculate on who has it. It doesn't seem to be the World Bank any longer, but it's probably someone who is benefiting tremendously from having that money. And we've seen, I remember seeing the report of like Zelensky's wife driving around a million-dollar car months and months ago. It's like those sorts of, it's so much of it's just a scam. And so even if you like a cause, don't assume that the money that you think is being contributed to it is actually benefiting that cause. This is maybe my word of caution to anyone. It's probably going to someone else to line their pockets. All righty, we've got, let's see. Man, so many things we're just going to kind of fly through here. This one to me is very interesting, though. So Russia launches a BRICS mining infrastructure project. And so I talk about BitRiver. This the largest data center operator in Russia is partnering with the Russian Direct Investment Fund to build mining and AI computing facilities across BRICS nations. And if you look down at the end of the article here, it talks about what it means for Bitcoin. And I went and looked at, I can't remember Solve, but the CEO of this company said that, to us, the expansion of crypto mining by these heavyweights signals Bitcoin's ever-growing global adoption. And basically, these BRICS nations see an opportunity for liquidity and financial inclusion. And, you know, to me, this is, I'll just say my comment on this, Tony, is this is the game theory, I think, playing out. And it's only a matter of time if the BRICS nations begin to adopt Bitcoin, not necessarily as a treasury asset, but they... Yeah, sort of dip their toes in the water. It's going to put pressure on other people to do that sooner than later, or you're going to fall behind. And I think there are people at high levels of government in the West that understand that. And those people are probably going to get more airtime explaining why that matters and what the implications could be down the road. And I'm hopeful, you know, I'm not hopeful that governments adopt Bitcoin, but I think it's inevitable. I'm hopeful that maybe it... you know, the countries that I prefer adopt Bitcoin sooner, this lights a fire under them to get moving. I'm curious what you think of that.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, man. I think a lot more governments are already doing this, just silently probably for now. They're not publicly announcing it. But ultimately, I think all governments are going to adopt Bitcoin. There's just no way around it. Just logically and mathematically speaking, because it is the only thing they can trust. You know, like, why would they trust anything else that they think another opponent may have an advantage over them with? They just won't. So they'll all, you know, they'll all agree, to use something that is neutral across the board. And, you know, well, the mining industry is just going to grow, you know, the world powered by energy, something, you know, that you cannot corrupt. It's just very bullish overall for the world. I'm very excited about this. I wasn't expecting the announcement to be made so soon, but ultimately we should expect to hear more countries, you know, come about and say, oh yeah, well, you know, we think it's a good idea as well, and this is what we're going to do. So absolutely bullish for the world. I'm very happy that things are starting to unfold, you know, the way they are. It's about time that, you know, some glimmer of hope continues to shine. And yeah, man, good times ahead. Hopefully for all those that are paying attention, you know, just hold the line. You know, we're going to make it to the other side.
Yeah, I don't think that China, Russia, countries like that who have, you know, generally more authoritarian regimes, I don't think they're probably likely to view Bitcoin as something that they are going to back a BRICS currency with or anything like that, because it truly will prohibit their manipulative ability on the currency. But I think they, to the extent that they envision a future where they're not going to be able to evade the reality of Bitcoin, they're just beginning to take some small steps to, you know, pad their, you know, their reserve. I don't think they're, again, I don't think they're going to back their currency or anything like that, because you can't just print endlessly on a Bitcoin standard. You can't put capital controls in place the way that, you know, historically they've done and desire to do so. But it might be, you know, sort of a wake up call to the, you know, countries like Germany, who recently sold a bunch of the Bitcoin that they had and are probably kicking themselves as the price pumps this week, you know, and will certainly be kicking themselves when the price pumps much more over the next year or so. So it's, yeah, it's something we just need to kind of keep an eye on. I'm sure there'll be more news coming out on this and what that means. And it wouldn't surprise me if over the next 4 years in the United States, with what seems to be likely a more favorable administration coming in, that, you know, maybe they would get on board with some of these initiatives as well. And I'll be curious what that means for the purchasing power of Bitcoin and for global adoption more generally.
The thing is, now that Bitcoin exists, you know, the days of, you know, having these wet dreams about capital controls and controlling the money and enslaving the world, those are coming to an end. Because even though these countries may initially be hesitant to adopt Bitcoin because, you know, it disrupts their own selfish plans, you know, the world is a big place, and there are a lot of countries that are not following these same stupid games. And so people are going to vote, right, with their feet and their money by opting to live, you know, in greener pastures. And so ultimately, the competition, the global economic competition, is going to force these retarded governments to change their ways, right? And so this is why I think ultimately they all will be forced to adopt it, whether they like it or not. That's besides the point. But from a competitive perspective, like if everybody leaves your country and you've got no one to rule over, so what are you going to do? You're going to stare yourself in the mirror and be happy that, you know, you haven't adopted Bitcoin because you don't like it? It's not going to work that way. So the problem is Bitcoin exists, right? Like, you know, it's out of the bag already. You can't put it back. You can't get rid of it. It's here. It's not going anywhere. It's only growing in adoption. So that ship has sailed. So the sooner governments adopt it, the less painful it'll be. Otherwise, you know, just like anybody else, they're going to have to learn the hard way. And it'll cost them more to fix, you know, any silly mistakes. That's what I think.
I couldn't agree more. All right, we've got the number go up. Bros are out in full force. We've got Van Ack predicting $3 million Bitcoin and uses a global reserve asset by the year 2050. To the extent, again, that, you know, number go up is important. I think this seems very bearish, not bullish, that it's going to take 26 years for people to catch on to this, especially with some of the news like we've just highlighted. But curious your, oh, I'll just make the comment too that it's so funny, these predictions are, it's like, oh, 26 years from now, here's what we think is going to happen. And it's like, if you had some guts, maybe just maybe make a prediction for next year or for a couple of years from now. Like, no one's going to remember this prediction 26 years from now. It's very convenient to go on and talk about, you know, high dollar amount, you know, exchange rates with Bitcoin. But I'm wondering if you get annoyed stuff like I do.
Well, when I hear guys like that speak, you know, it's a clear indication that they have no idea what they're saying, because anyone can predict something 100 years down the line. You know, anything can happen between now and then. Maybe you're right. Probably most people will forget you ever said that, so you're safe either way. Either ways, if he thinks, you know, we're going to wait till 2050 to Bitcoin becomes worth $3 million, this guy is completely nuts. By 2050, first of all, most people reading his tweet today will be dead, you know, so that's like besides the point. But he has no idea what he's talking about. I mean, if things continue at the current trajectory, you know, the 3 million mark will be here soon, I wouldn't say any day, but I'd say under 5 years for sure. We even surpassed the $3 million mark, because remember, when things are going to break, and I suspect they will, they're going to break very quickly and, you know, very deep. And when that happens, well, you know, that's, you know, when the whole black hole effect takes place and the money just panics out of wherever it is into the only thing that deemed safe, and that's Bitcoin. So just do the math, you know, finite supply, 8 billion people going crazy now. Where do you think the price is going to go?
Yeah, and I didn't do the math on what the purchasing power of $3 million would be at 50 years from now. So I don't know if he means that. I assume he doesn't mean that in today's dollars. I mean, $3 million in 2050 is going to be, you know, what, a few hundred thousand dollars maybe? Like, that's hardly bullish or anything to get excited about anyway. So any projection of where Bitcoin's going besides up generally is just silly. But it's especially silly when you've got 1,000 different variables you could be analyzing. You're a professional asset manager, money manager, whatever you are, and you can't account for all of those variables. You can't account for what World War III would look like. You can't account for, you know, massive printing to cover, you know, the existing debt. And in light of the fact that you can't account for any of these things, I just don't even know, like, where, you know, like, who's coming up with these numbers and then with a straight face sharing it with their team and saying, hey, I think this is what we should go, you know, announce on mainstream media.
Yeah, it's completely absurd. I mean, unless Bitcoin hits $3 million tomorrow, the value of the dollar will be like a worthless piece of toilet paper, you know, sort of like the Lebanese pound, where they're transforming it into flower bouquets now, because it's actually cheaper than buying the real flower. You know, they're turning the money into like designer flower bouquets to gift each other because it's so cheap. So the money printing is going to continue. There's no doubt about this. You know, I hear the argument sometimes, yeah, but the dollar is backed, you know, by the biggest, strongest army in the world. Okay, great. But you still have to pay these guys, right, that are putting their lives on the line. So if you're going to keep printing exponentially to keep your Ponzi going, well, then the money these guys are earning is not going to buy them much. And how long do you think it takes before they put two and two together to realize, wait a minute, I'm not going to go risk dying for that worthless garbage. I'm out. You know, this is what happened in Lebanon. The average salary of someone in the army was $50. How many of them stayed? So if you think you're backed up by the world's strongest army, you're assuming that their purchasing power is not going to change. These are people with families as well. They're not stupid. I mean, you can maybe fool them for a little while, but you know, after some time, you know, when their families go to buy stuff from the grocery store and they realize that, hey, send more money, but you don't have more money to send, then, you know, you're going to start, you know, realizing that I'm not going to be part of this anymore. And so that big, powerful army becomes a nothing burger.
Yeah, you were talking about Ponzi schemes. I think that's a great segue into our last topic here. So Cardano, I saw the founder of Cardano. Oh, what's his name? Charles Hoskinson. I saw a video. I assume it was an older video. He was talking about how over the next 10 years, Cardano is going to flip Ethereum, and then over the next 10 years it'll be Bitcoin, and then it'll be effectively the rails for the global financial system, which is hilarious, obviously. But now I know almost nothing about Cardano, couldn't be less interested. I don't even know really what the hell any of this means that we're looking at here, but they're tapping into Bitcoin's liquidity. It sounds like effectively operating as like an L2 on Bitcoin. And The Street, which is not a publication I was familiar with until I was doing some research on this, says that this is going to open doors for expanded DeFi capabilities and massive growth potential for Cardano holders. So I thought we could just have a little laugh about this, Tony. What do you make of it?
This guy's been predicting anything is going to flip Bitcoin. You know, even according to Hoskinson, even cheeseburgers will flip Bitcoin one day, you know. So I don't know what this guy's up to. You know, maybe it does sound like an L2 on, you know, on Bitcoin. I have no idea. I haven't looked into it, you know, that much. But I don't take this guy seriously. So whatever it is that he's concocting, you know, I take it with a grain of salt. But ultimately, it's very clear that if you can't beat them, join them. So now, you know, after all these years of bad-mouthing Bitcoin and how it's going to zero, well, now all of a sudden, he's, you know, frontline taking part of the ecosystem. So it'll be funny to see how that plays out. But if there's somehow, he figures out a way to somehow do some DeFi wizardry, you know, using Bitcoin in a way that makes sense, I don't know, who knows? It might be like a shimmer of positivity finally from the Cardano ecosystem. Who knows?
Yeah, for anyone listening, not financial advice, but just buy Bitcoin, take it into self-custody, ignore the scams. Ignore all the new noise around, you know, supposed innovation in the space. We've got Bitcoin. That's all we need. And run away from anything that isn't Bitcoin is just sort of a general recommendation. Tony, I think that is all we got today. This was, we kind of flew through this a little bit shorter, but man, just some funny stuff going on in the world. For everyone listening, thank you for tuning in. As always, check out the bitcoinway.com/podcast. We can help you with Bitcoin self-custody. We can help you protect your online life. We can help you with setting up privacy phones. And we've even got a Plan B residency to citizenship option for you. Again, the bitcoinway.com/podcast. We'd love for you to schedule a free 30-minute consult with a member of our team to learn more. With that, Tony, thank you so much for joining. We'll catch up again in a few days.
Short and sweet, Michael. Thank you.
Love it. Cheers, man.